hubbardnewsradio.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
For over 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, and we try to bring you a lot of good information all about you and your health. Now, the show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com. That's myvillagegreen.com. And this is a reminder that Village Green is your resource for questions about your health via the website and the store on Cedar Lane. You get expert advice. They carry superior supplements from many manufacturers. And please do take a look at Village Green's own Pathway products. Now, we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., so please join us next week for Kevin's discussion on nutrition. Our guest today is Steve Christensen, MD. He is a physician with expertise in nutrition and the medical affairs consultant for Thorne Research. Our subject is the health benefits of sulforaphane. So, let me give you some background on Dr. Christensen. His medical degree is from the University of Utah School of Medicine, completed his family medicine residency at McKay-D Hospital Center in Ogden, Utah. He's a board-certified family physician. He practiced the full gamut of rural medicine, much of it as a solo practitioner in Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, Oregon, and Montana. And in the late 1990s, as clinical director for the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians in Siletz, Oregon, he guided the organization to accreditation with the Accreditation Association for Ambulatory Healthcare. And after leaving medical practice in 2003, Steve and his wife, Tanya, owned and operated a nutrition and health food store in Newport, Oregon, before returning to the inland Northwest. He's an avid writer, having composed hundreds of health and nutrition-related articles for LiveStrong.com and other online forums. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Well, thank you very much, Dana. You know more about me than I know about myself.
Well, yeah. I find it very interesting. Do you want to elaborate on your background?
No, I think you've covered it quite well, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I guess the only thing that I might add is the reason that I left medical practice a little over 10 years ago was that I developed an autoimmune illness that impacted my vision and stole a pretty good percentage of my central vision. So I was probably more dangerous in the emergency room or in the clinical setting than I was good. So I had to leave the arena. But you know, ever since then, I have continued in education and, as you mentioned, writing, and have stayed as close to medicine as I possibly could. It's always been, it's been centered. It's been dear to my heart, and I do miss it. But I like what I'm doing now, and I wanted to thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you, and let's dive right into our subject. Let's talk about sulforaphane, and that's a tough one to pronounce for most people, and the source of it, the origin of both the name and what it relates to.
Sure thing. Well, you know, sulforaphane has been getting a lot of press lately. Many of your listeners are probably familiar with this compound, but for those who aren't, sulforaphane is a substance that's derived from cruciferous plants, such as broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, mustard, radishes, Brussels sprouts, and kale. It's one of several isothiocyanates. There's another word stuff to pronounce.
It is.
To pronounce. Yeah, yeah. But it's one of several isothiocyanates, or so-called mustard oils, that get released from these plants whenever they are mechanically damaged. You know, while sulforaphane has been around since time immemorial, it was first discovered in 1992 by Dr. Paul Talalay and his team at Johns Hopkins University. In the years since its discovery, we've learned a lot about sulforaphane, but we really only uncovered a fraction of all there is to know about this compound. You know, in fact, the number of clinical trials and the published scientific papers involving sulforaphane seems to be increasing, and for good reason. But before we get into some of the interesting things that scientists are learning about sulforaphane, I'd like to step back just a bit and fill in some of the bigger picture, you know, maybe give a little bit of the backstory. And I guess I should say right here that, you know, the following discussion contains scientific content, so listener discretion is advised. I'm going to be mentioning the names of several chemical compounds. You know, and unfortunately, there just isn't a way to simplify some of those names, but I'll try to make some sense of all the technical jargon as we go along here. Sulforaphane is part of a larger molecule called glucoraphanin, which itself belongs to a class of compounds called glucosinolates. As this name implies, a glucosinolate is formed by combining a molecule of glucose with an isothiocyanate such as sulforaphane. So far, scientists have identified about 130, 135 glucosinolates in cruciferous plants, but only a few of them are as well studied as glucoraphanin and, of course, its offspring, sulforaphane. Well, because glucoraphanin is the glucosinolate that contains sulforaphane, glucoraphanin is also called sulforaphane glucosinolate, or simply SGS. So glucoraphanin and SGS are two terms for the same compound.
Well, you explained that well, by the way, so let's keep going. It's tough, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. And I mean, yeah, these terms can just twist your tongue. But, you know, they are fascinating, and, you know, unfortunately, science is science. Well, one of the things we've learned about sulforaphane is that it is responsible for most of the beneficial properties of cruciferous vegetables. On the other hand, we've learned that SGS, or glucoraphanin, and the other glucosinolates don't possess these same properties. So it raises the question, you know, why would nature camouflage this wonderful molecule called sulforaphane within a more complex molecule, which could potentially make it harder for us humans to break it down, absorb it, and utilize it? Well, you know, even though we humans like to think that all things are put here for our purposes, SGS and its relatives are not produced by cruciferous plants merely for the benefit of mankind. These compounds, when they're broken down into their respective isothiocyanates, serve to repel many insects that would otherwise feed on these plants. And scientists believe that glucosinolates and their byproducts may discourage some larger animals from feeding on these plants as well. Matter of fact, it's probably a good bet that the glucosinolates are responsible for President George H.W. Bush's decision to declare his White House off-limits to broccoli back in the early 1990s. But I guess we'll never know. Well, you know, whether you believe in evolution or divine intelligence or, you know, some other unifying force that shapes our universe, this is kind of where the story gets interesting, at least in my opinion. You know, while sulforaphane and its relatives make good insect repellents, they aren't very stable molecules. When they're exposed to, say, warmth or alkaline conditions, they break down fairly quickly, so they don't stick around for very long in the environment or in biological systems like our cells. As isolated molecules, then, sulforaphane and the other isothiocyanates wouldn't be as much use as insect repellents unless they could somehow be manufactured, stabilized, and stored until the plants that make them are under attack, at which point they could be released into their surroundings. Well, nature has dealt with this stability problem by combining sulforaphane and the other isothiocyanates with glucose, and this prevents them from breaking down so quickly. Well, as we've learned, these glucose isothiocyanate combinations are called glucosinolates. Well, they're sequestered in specialized compartments within plant cells where they can be stored for fairly long periods of time. So while glucosinolates are fairly stable, they're not really effective as insect repellents. They simply act as carriers for the sulforaphane and the other isothiocyanates. when a cruciferous plant comes under attack, there has to be a way to quickly separate the glucose from the sulforaphane so that the sulforaphane can perform its intended task. And this is the neat thing. Right alongside the glucoraphanin in these tiny baggy-like compartments called vacuoles is an enzyme called myrosinase, whose job it is to perform this very operation. So as long as the plant cells are intact, the glucoraphanin and the myrosinase remain separated. But when the cells are broken apart by a chewing insect or some other foraging creature, such as a hungry human at a salad bar, the myrosinase and the glucoraphanin are liberated from their respective storage compartments. The myrosinase cleaves the sulforaphane from its glucosinolate parent, and the sulforaphane is released into the environment where it will hopefully discourage, you know, the foraging creature from further injuring the plant. So, to review, we have glucoraphanin enclosed within the plant cells alongside these sealed packets of myrosinase. And when the cells are disrupted, the packets of both glucoraphanin and myrosinase are ruptured. The myrosinase separates the sulforaphane from the glucoraphanin, and the sulforaphane is released to discourage whatever bug might be tormenting the plant.
So that is the broccoli factor and what people taste.
Yeah, as a matter of fact. These are sulfur-containing compounds. And, you know, as we all know, sulfur has a distinct aroma. So, this is one of the things that gives the cruciferous vegetables their intriguing aroma and flavor. You know, and for better or worse, there are those who don't find that aroma and flavor agreeable.
Well, my understanding is, and this is based on research that probably goes back three decades, that some people have certain component in their saliva, enzymes, which make the cruciferous vegetables taste good, and other people lack it, hence dislike it. Is that still true or not?
Well, you know, I've heard that too, and I suspect that it's true, and it's probably genetically determined. Although, you know, who knows? If you run into, a parent who doesn't like broccoli and voices their dislike for broccoli, then their kids are likely to dislike it as well. But, no, I think what you're saying bears a lot of truth.
Well, you've really given us a lot of information to think about in this first segment. We're going to continue the discussion. For those of you who have just tuned in with us, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, and we're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more interesting information from Dr. Steve Christensen.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7. Available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA-certified, organic, non-GMO-verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle. A wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new CogniSure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in CogniSure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. CogniSure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and CogniSure. Remember CogniSure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. The show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro. And we really do try to bring you a lot of interesting, good information all about you and your health. Now, Village Green is your resource for questions about your health via their website or the store on Cedar Lane. And remember that they do carry a superior line of supplements from many manufacturers, including their own Pathway products. Now, we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and you can tune in next Sunday for Kevin's discussion on nutrition. Our guest today is Steve Christensen, and he is a physician with expertise in nutrition and the medical affairs consultant for Thorne Research. Our subject is the health benefits of sulforaphane, and we've been talking about it. Dr. Christensen, I'd like you to just summarize what we were trying to explain in the first segment for those who may not have listened to it.
Well, we talked a little bit about where sulforaphane comes from, mainly cruciferous plants like cabbage and broccoli and all of those. And we discussed why sulforaphane is made by plants, and it's actually made as a compound with glucosinolates being the parent compounds. Glucoraphanin is the specific parent for sulforaphane. The glucosinolates are broken down by myrosinase, which is an enzyme that is within the same plant as the glucosinolates. And when the enzyme myrosinase acts on the glucoraphanin, it liberates sulforaphane, which is an effective insect repellent. So now even as cruciferous plants have developed this little mechanism to protect themselves from foraging, many insects and higher animals have been devising ways to get around it or even exploit it. You know, most people who are gardeners are familiar with a little butterfly called the cabbage white, for example. Well, this is an insect that has learned to not only lay its eggs on plants that are shunned by lots of other predators that would eat its eggs, but the larvae of this insect, of this butterfly, produce an enzyme themselves, or actually it's a protein that combines with myrosinase and converts the glucoraphanin into harmless compounds that don't repel the larvae. So they can go on feeding on the broccoli until they can basically ruin a crop of vegetables. And again, anybody in your audience who's a gardener is familiar with this this little butterfly and the damage that its young can do.
Isn't that interesting? What an adaptation.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, and just like the cabbage white, we humans have developed the capacity to not only tolerate some of these defensive molecules found in cruciferous plants, we've evolved to take advantage of them. In our bodies, sulforaphane triggers specific metabolic responses that may help prevent or even reverse certain disease processes. And I'd like to talk about some of those right now, if that's okay.
Yes.
First on the list, joint protection. Worldwide, arthritis is one of the most common causes of reduced function and disability in adults. The joint damage that occurs in arthritis is usually the result of an inflammatory cascade that eventually results in erosion of the cartilage that cushions our joints. Well, a 2013 study in the United Kingdom showed that sulforaphane intercepts one of the key inflammatory molecules that activates many of these cartilage-destroying enzymes. This suggests that sulforaphane could play a role in either preventing or even treating certain kinds of arthritis. Another big problem in American society is cardiovascular disease. Heart disease is the number one killer of American adults. It accounts for one in every four deaths each year in this country. And people with diabetes are particularly high risk for cardiovascular disease, mainly because there's underlying tissue and blood vessel inflammation that accompanies this disease. Well, another British study in 2013 demonstrated that sulforaphane can prevent and even reverse the type of damage that occurs in the hearts and blood vessels of diabetic patients. Sulforaphane appears to, well, we know that it activates this cellular pathway called the NRF2 or NRF2 pathway, which in turn stimulates the production of antioxidant and detoxifying enzymes that help eliminate many of these harmful compounds that are produced in the tissues of diabetic patients. And by the way, I should probably mention NRF2 stands for, I always have to look this up, nuclear factor, erythroid 2 related factor 2, which is why, you know, even the scientists that study this pathway just call it NRF2.
Yeah.
Next on the list is anti-ulcer activity. In 2002, a study at Johns Hopkins, which of course is where sulforaphane was first discovered, showed that sulforaphane effectively eradicates Helicobacter pylori, or H. pylori. A lot of people have heard of this this bacterium, which gets into the epithelial cells that line the inner wall of the stomach, creates inflammation, and eventually causes ulcers. As a matter of fact, H. pylori is the principal cause of gastric and peptic ulcers in humans. In addition to increasing your risk for ulcers, infection with this bacterium dramatically increases your risk for stomach cancer as well. Well, sulforaphane not only kills H. pylori, including many strains that are resistant to antibiotics, it's been shown to inhibit the formation of tumors in the stomach wall. Well, this anti-tumor effect appears to be due, once again, to sulforaphane's influence on the NRF2 pathway. Another interesting effect of sulforaphane is detoxification. Environmental pollution is now recognized as an increasingly important contributor to all sorts of chronic diseases, including chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, immune disorders like lupus, MS, rheumatoid arthritis, and cancers. In 2014, there was a trial in China. They took nearly 300 individuals in one of China's most polluted regions, and they gave them sulforaphane. And this study revealed that sulforaphane accelerated the detoxification and elimination of benzene and acrolein, which are common environmental toxins, which these people had accumulated in their bodies as a result of exposures to their environment. Well, benzene is a known human carcinogen. Acrolein is an airway irritant, and we believe it's a carcinogen. And in examining how this all came to be and how the these compounds were eliminated from these people, it's likely that the detoxifying effects of sulforaphane were mediated once again through the NRF2 pathway. Next on the list is eye health. Age-related macular degeneration, or AMD, is one of the most common causes of vision loss in older Americans. 10% of people between the ages of 66 and 75 have some signs of AMD, and this condition affects at least 30% of individuals over the age of 75. Oxidative stress in the pigmented layer of the retina is one of the major contributing factors to AMD. Well, in 2013, researchers at the University of Oklahoma and China's Shenzhen University School of Medicine, and I probably mispronounced that, they showed that sulforaphane improves the retinal pigment cell's ability to withstand this oxidative stress that leads to AMD, mainly by upregulating the production of antioxidant enzymes and down-regulating the production of these inflammatory chemicals called cytokines. Both of these effects are mediated through, guess who? NRF2. Sulforaphane's ability to activate NRF2 is responsible for its benefits in preventing age-related macular degeneration. Well, the next one, most people who have heard of sulforaphane, they know about, and that's cancer prevention. Cancer is the second leading cause of death in America, trailing just behind heart disease. A couple of years ago, nearly 600,000 people died from cancer in the U.S. Epidemiologic studies show that regular consumption of cruciferous vegetables significantly reduces the incidence of several types of cancers, including those involving prostate, bladder, colon, ovary, breast, and kidney. Well, in 2007, a group of scientists at Roswell Park Cancer Institute in Buffalo, New York, identified a number of mechanisms by which sulforaphane interferes with all of those steps that lead to cancer development, initiation, promotion, invasion, and spread or metastasis of cancer cells are all impacted by sulforaphane. And here again, it's activation of the NRF2 pathway that's at the root of sulforaphane's beneficial effects. You know, it's believed that sulforaphane stimulation of the NRF2 pathway influences the activity of at least 200 genes in our cells that are involved in inflammation, cell aging, cell death, and even malignant transformation, which, of course, leads to cancers. Well, now, Dan, I'd like to tell you about a particularly exciting study that was recently completed by the researchers at Massachusetts General Hospital for Children in Boston. And you and I were talking about this just before we came on air. This study was designed to evaluate the effects of sulforaphane in people with autism spectrum disorder, or ASD. Autism spectrum disorder is a term used to describe a range of neurologic disorders that cause problems with communication and interpersonal relationships, as well as triggering obsessive and repetitive behaviors. Well, ASD has been on the rise in the U.S. and now affects about 1 in 70 individuals in this country. You know, when I was in practice 20 years ago, it was 1 in 300 perhaps, or 1 in 500. So there's an alarming increase in ASD in this country.
Well, when I started in it, it was 1 in 10,000. And a door opened, and all of a sudden there was this cascade, 1 in 500, then it started going down to 1 in 300, and it just, or increasing, I should say, and the increase has been humongous. Now, a lot of people say that's because we have better diagnostic abilities, but the diagnostic abilities account for only 200% of the 600% increase. So, yes, we're diagnosing better, but there is a true increase, and I think no one doubts that anymore.
Oh, clearly, yeah. There's a geometric increase. Like you said, this wider diagnostic net that we've cast only accounts for a proportion of it. So, something's going on out there, and nobody's really put their finger on it yet. But in this clinical trial, which I think it, you know, it is on the verge of finding something that may be at the root of ASD, at least in a significant proportion of patients. The investigators in this trial administered sulforaphane to a group of young men aged 13 to 27 with moderate to severe ASD. So these were folks who were fairly severely affected by this disease. A second group of young men with ASD got a placebo, so they did not get any of the sulforaphane. After 18 weeks of treatment, the subjects in the group that got the sulforaphane showed significant improvement in verbal communication, social interaction, and a reduction in some of these stereotypical behaviors, such as rocking back and forth and hand flapping and repeatedly spinning objects, irritability, hyperactivity, and so on. When the sulforaphane was stopped in the treatment group, the young man's condition reverted to a pretreatment state.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, this is a very compelling study. you know, and unfortunately, we're still kind of casting around for the specific mechanisms behind sulforaphane's effects in this setting. You know, and they may be quite complex.
Well, they actually make sense, because one of the commonalities, and truly autism is a, I like to use the term autisms, because there are subsets that have differences depending on the individual. There's a subset of those with GI problems and many other situations, but a commonality is impaired detoxification. And so when you take something that has a broad effect as an antioxidant detoxifier, you're going to get a significant effect as compared to, say, finding a deficiency in, let's pick something out, chromium and giving chromium. The effect may not be as magnificent as we see with something that has a broad impact on inflammation, detoxification. Those two factors are predominant among those with autism.
Yep, it does. And, you know, among the other possibilities here, you know, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the detoxification antioxidant capacities of sulforaphane in just a bit.
Well, let's catch that in the next segment. I am so excited. I'm not watching the time. Your information is so good. And for those of you who have just tuned in with us, you're on the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, and we're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be right back, and we're going to have more of a discussion with Dr. Christensen on the subject of sulforaphane and what it can do for us.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake. I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, and you can tune in every Sunday morning. Next Sunday, you'll catch Kevin and his discussion on nutrition. Our guest today is Steve Christensen, and he is a physician with expertise in nutrition, and he's the medical affairs consultant for Thorne Research. Our subject has been and is the health benefits of sulforaphane, and I have a difficult time saying it, and I'm sure that it's difficult for many of our listeners, but we're talking about what's often called the broccoli factor. And Dr. Christensen, could you please reiterate the specific cruciferous vegetables that contain this valuable sulforaphane?
Well, you know, sulforaphane and its relatives, which are all derived from glucosinolates, are found in all cruciferous vegetables to some extent. You know, broccoli, cabbage, kale, mustard, radishes, a lot of vegetables that are familiar to most of your listeners. You know, and we were talking just before the break about a particularly fascinating study involving sulforaphane, where autistic patients, moderately to severely affected autistic patients, were given sulforaphane for about 18 weeks. And the autism, all of the symptoms of autism in these individuals dramatically improved. And not surprisingly, once the sulforaphane was discontinued, the subjects in the study all went back to the pretreatment state. And we were talking about the possible mechanisms, detoxification, antioxidants, all of those kinds of things, which are probably a part of the key to sulforaphane's effects in autistic individuals. The researchers who conducted this study thought that the sulforaphane may influence some of the same processes that are triggered by a fever in the patients with autism spectrum disorders. And for years, parents of autistic children have reported that their kids' symptoms temporarily improve whenever they develop a fever. This fever response has been reported in about half of all autistic children, and it was reported by the parents of about 80% of the participants in the study, if I remember right. Well, we know that a fever stimulates the production of proteins called heat shock proteins in all individuals. And the scientists that conducted this study thought that maybe the heat shock proteins that were being stimulated by the sulforaphane somehow awakened genes that have been inactivated in people with autism spectrum disorder. Well, we talked earlier about this NRF2 pathway. NRF2, not surprisingly, stimulates the production of heat shock proteins. So sulforaphane's activation of NRF2 could partly account for the scientists' observations in this study. But, you know, as you mentioned, Dana, earlier, the additional possible mechanisms for sulforaphane's effect in autism spectrum disorder include, you know, reduced oxidative stress, so antioxidant functions, improved glutathione synthesis, which I'll talk about in a moment, which leads to detoxification, enhanced mitochondrial function and energy production. You know, and I think one of your former speakers, Dr. Alan Miller, talked about mitochondrial function. And then, of course, reduced inflammation within the nerve cells that are impacted by autism spectrum disorder. Well, you know, by now, your listeners are probably recognizing a pattern to sulforaphane's actions within living cells, and that is the NRF2 pathway. So at this point, I'd like to drill just a little bit deeper into how NRF2 influences our cells' day-to-day activities. And this might help to illustrate the importance of this signaling pathway in human health. And remember, when we talk about NRF2 activation, we're talking about sulforaphane. Well, NRF2 is a protein that's found within the cytoplasm of every cell in our body, with the highest concentrations found in the key detoxification organs, like the liver and kidney. And it's also found in all metabolically active tissues to some degree, such as the muscles and brain. Now, while NRF2 exists in all cells, it's unable to operate until it is released by a NRF2 activator. You know, and there's a laundry list of things that will activate NRF2, free radicals, toxins, infections, bacterial endotoxins, all kinds of cell stressors will activate NRF2, as can compounds like sulforaphane.
Once it's released, Nrf2 migrates from the cytoplasm into the cell nucleus, where it binds to the DNA. Remember, we talked earlier about the fact that sulforaphane influences the activity of about 200 genes that we know about so far. But it migrates into the nucleus of the cell. It binds to the DNA at a specific location called the antioxidant response element, or ARE, which is the main regulator of the antioxidant system found in all of our cells. And that gets back to your earlier comments about oxidants or antioxidants being so important in people with autism spectrum disorder. Well, some of Nrf's specific activities include regulation of glutathione production and regeneration. Glutathione is an antioxidant that is used by certain enzymes in all of our cells, but particularly in those detoxification organs like the liver and the kidneys. And these enzymes detoxify nearly all of the foreign substances that enter our bodies every day. There are thousands of compounds in our food, in our air, in our water that our bodies have to detoxify in order to either use them or to eliminate them to protect our bodies from damage. Well, without glutathione and the enzymes that replenish it, the enzymes that bring about detoxification would slow down, and our cells would soon succumb to the damage caused by all these foreign substances. Well, phase one and phase two detoxification, that's just, you know, these are categories that we've given to the various enzymes that bring about detoxification in our cells. These phases of detoxification are the most important cancer-preventing processes in the human body. They protect us from all those things that get into our cells that would damage our chromosomes and lead to malignant transformation and eventually to cancer. Glutathione is one of the compounds that is critical to these enzymes that detoxify these substances. It is a renewable antioxidant, but supplies of this essential compound can be exhausted under conditions of stress, poor nutrition, or exceptionally high levels of toxic exposure. Well, Nrf2 does several things to ensure that we have adequate glutathione levels. Number one, it turns on the genes that produce glutathione. Secondly, it activates the genes that code for the enzymes that use glutathione to detoxify all these foreign substances. And finally, it switches on the genes that regenerate glutathione, so our cells have this continuous supply. And by activating Nrf2, sulforaphane helps us maintain our glutathione supply. Another thing that Nrf2 participates, another important function, is that it helps to produce thyroxin, which is another antioxidant that's essential to human life. And Nrf2, that signaling pathway, is responsible for producing this antioxidant as well as regenerating, just like it does with glutathione. Thyroxin is something that a lot of people haven't heard about, but you know, if either of the two genes that code for the thyroxin in our cells is missing, a developing embryo won't survive to implant in the womb. You know, as a matter of fact, it'll die before it's even divided beyond the four-cell stage. So without thyroxin, just like glutathione, human life wouldn't exist. And Nrf2 is responsible for activating the genes that code for thyroxin synthesis and regeneration. And then one of the last important things that Nrf2 is responsible for is NADPH production. NADPH, and here's another mouthful of scientific terms, stands for nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide phosphate. Well, this molecule is used by our cells to regenerate antioxidants such as glutathione and thyroxin, which we just talked about. It's needed for manufacturing lipids, such as those needed to make our cell membranes, and it's used to synthesize nucleic acids, which are the building blocks for our chromosomes. So in a sense, NADPH is a cellular currency, and it's used in a number of metabolic processes. Without NADPH, these processes all grind to a halt, and the cell dies. Well, Nrf2 activates the genes that are responsible for manufacturing NADPH. So in summary, Nrf2 is the master regulator of our cells' antioxidant machinery.
you know, it plays a key role in detoxifying, as I said earlier, the thousands of potentially harmful substances that enter our bodies every day. And it upregulates our cells' responses to all kinds of stresses by activating those genes that protect us from those stresses. I remember I was reading a study not long ago. One researcher called Nrf2 the guardian of health span and the gatekeeper of species longevity, you know, which is essentially true because this pathway is believed to be the cellular signaling pathway that's responsible for the relatively long lifespans of certain organisms, such as humans. I mean, you know, when the nerve pathway is activated, it does tend to improve longevity, not only of cells, but of the organisms in which those cells are found.
Well, I have a question that comes to mind. One of my colleagues in lecturing in autism is Dr. Jill James, and her research is glutathione. And she has found that when taking glutathione, there isn't, it's a relatively short duration that it stays in the bloodstream. She uses or recommends lipoic acid to extend that. I'm assuming from what you're saying that sulforaphane would give a better duration of glutathione and it regenerates through the nerve pathway.
You know, and it's fascinating that you say that because that was basically the very next thing that I was going to say. You know, because of the way that it activates Nrf2, which in turn switches on this antioxidant response element, sulforaphane is often called an indirect antioxidant.
Uh-huh.
And that's a distinct, it's a distinctive property of this compound. You know, as you mentioned, some of these antioxidants, they don't last very long because they're consumed by free radicals, you know, or reactive oxygen species. And if they're not recycled, they're gone. Direct antioxidants such as vitamin C or vitamin E are examples. They're effective for a few hours, perhaps, after they enter the bloodstream and tissues. In contrast, when sulforaphane turns on the Nrf2 pathway, these antioxidant and cell-protective mechanisms that are set in motion continue to function for days. So you can take sulforaphane or get sulforaphane on board, and you'll see this, well, let's just use glutathione. You'll see regeneration of glutathione for at least a couple of days, whereas if you take glutathione directly, it tends to get consumed, and it may be recycled for a couple of cycles through the cell, and then it's gone. So you can begin to see why scientists are so intrigued by, you know, this simple molecule called sulforaphane from broccoli.
Well, you have explained this so beautifully and elegantly, and we're going to finish up with this in the next segment. And a reminder to those who have just joined us, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. We've been talking with Dr. Steve Christensen, who is a physician with expertise in nutrition and the medical affairs consultant for Thorne Research. And we've been talking about the cruciferous vegetables, sometimes referred to as broccoli factor sulforaphane. And we have found that its potential is exponential. That's a poem. So we're going to talk about this in the final segment and wind up with some more interesting news you can use. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7. Available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics multivitamins. That's right, certified organic. Made with the highest quality standards. Uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, non-GMO certified, vegan, and gluten-free. Kind Organics multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probilarty from Metagenics offers a new, targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probilarty provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probilarty is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro. We are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Please join next Sunday for Kevin's discussion on nutrition. Now, our guest today is Steve Christensen. He's an MD, who's a physician with expertise in nutrition and the medical affairs consultant for Thorne Research. Our subject has been and is the health benefits of sulforaphane, and sometimes known as the broccoli factor, present in cruciferous vegetables such as broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, kale, cabbage, radishes, mustard. And we're going to wind up talking about how you can increase this valuable component in your diet and benefit from it. So let's take it away, Dr. Christensen.
Well, thank you once again, Dana. And as you said, we've talked a lot about sulforaphane, how it affects human health, some of the specific actions of sulforaphane in ourselves. You know, now we'd just like to talk a little bit about how you get this important compound into our bodies. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the compound is present as glucoraphanin in all cruciferous plants, at least to some extent. So some way to get sulforaphane is by eating lots of cruciferous vegetables. Unfortunately, even when people eat these foods, and lots of them don't, they usually overcook them, which destabilizes any existing sulforaphane and destroys the myrosinase, which is the enzyme that's needed to release sulforaphane from glucoraphanin. Well, steaming cruciferous vegetables for 3 to 5 minutes preserves the myrosinase, but once again, most people just don't go to the trouble. Well, this kind of brings us full circle to Dr. Paul Talalay and his colleagues, who discovered sulforaphane back in 1992. After they found sulforaphane in cruciferous plants, they started looking for plants that had more glucoraphanin. And indeed, they discovered that broccoli was particularly high in glucoraphanin and hence in sulforaphane. Well, depending on the cultivar of broccoli, the seeds and sprouts contain anywhere from 10 to 100 times the amount of glucoraphanin found in the mature broccoli. And some cultivars contain more than others. Well, armed with this knowledge and knowing that broccoli seeds and sprouts are particularly rich in glucoraphanin, Talalay's team developed a high-quality broccoli sprout extract, which is now widely used in a lot of the clinical studies that evaluate the effects of sulforaphane on human health. As a matter of fact, it was used in the study earlier that we talked about involving the autism spectrum disorder. And the broccoli seed extract derived from Talalay's work is the basis for Thorne Research's Crucera SGS. This is a product that contains as much glucoraphanin as about a couple of pounds of steamed broccoli, you know, which is more than most people are willing to eat every day, let's be honest about it.
Well, a question that inevitably comes up with regard to glucuronidin-containing supplements like Crucera SGS is this. If you need myrosinase to convert glucuronidin to sulforaphane, do glucuronidin supplements that don't include myrosinase really work? It's a valid question. Well, there's no doubt that myrosinase is an essential player in this whole process when it comes to getting sulforaphane free from SGS. After all, that's why nature conspired to package it alongside the glucuronidin in plant cells. You know, unfortunately, it's just not easy to build a supplement that contains both glucuronidin and myrosinase that remains viable on the shelf for any length of time. The least bit of moisture, a little bit of warmth, and the reaction between the myrosinase and glucuronidin starts, and once that happens, the sulforaphane quickly deteriorates. Well, luckily, the microorganisms found in the intestines of most humans and other mammals also produce myrosinase. And this was discovered back in 1998. So even if glucuronidin is consumed without myrosinase, a fair amount of it will be converted to sulforaphane within the gastrointestinal tract. What we don't know at this time is how to determine whose microorganisms are efficient converters and whose aren't. Not everybody is an efficient converter of glucuronidin. Experts say that this varies anywhere from 4 to 40%. Unfortunately, once again, we really just don't have a good supplement out there that is affordable, that's stable, that contains both myrosinase and glucuronidin. And until scientists learn how to measure a person's ability to convert glucuronidin, or until they perfect a way to put myrosinase and glucuronidin in the same supplement and then make it affordable, a high-quality glucuronidin supplement like the Crucera SGS from Thorne Research is the best thing going. You know, and frankly, I'll tell you what I do. You know, I take the Crucera SGS every day. As I mentioned early in the show, I have had this issue with my eyes since I developed that autoimmune disease back in late 1996 or so. But I take the SGS every day to not only protect my eyes, but to do so many of the other things that sulforaphane is good for. You know, and once in a while, I'll swallow the Crucera SGS, and then I'll eat a radish, or I'll grab a stalk of broccoli. You know, those things contain the myrosinase. So even though I can count on my the bugs in my gut to convert some of the glucuronidin to sulforaphane, when I toss down a little bit of extra myrosinase, then I'm sure of getting a good dose.
So at the same time, that's a good recommendation.
Yeah, I don't do that every day. You know, but when I'm not in a hurry to get out the door, and I like those vegetables anyway, so there's no reason to not combine them with the Crucera SGS just to make sure I'm getting the biggest bang for my buck from that supplement.
What about juicing and the juices of the cruciferous vegetables?
Well, that's a good way to get it, because we know that myrosinase is stable within vegetables that have not been disrupted. You know, once you cut, grind, smash, chew any of these cruciferous vegetables, then you release the myrosinase. But, you know, if you're taking fresh, say, broccoli florets or sprouts, or, you know, and that's one of the highest sources, of course, is the broccoli sprouts, and you can just eat those right now. As long as you're using fresh vegetables, juicing is a great way to get sulforaphane. Just keep in mind that once you juiced those vegetables, you need to get that juice on board fairly quickly, because if you put it in the fridge or leave it on the shelf or something like that, the sulforaphane will break down fairly quickly.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, and thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And I want to thank you, listeners, for joining us on The Essentials of Healthy Living. You can access this show or any of the previous shows through myvillagegreen.com. And with the beginning of the new year, our lives move forward, and I'm reminded that every day is a new day, every minute a new minute, giving us many opportunities to make positive health-enhancing choices. And please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics, Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com.